Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Mr. Anonymous, and here's what he has to say. Hey Sandman, I haven't missed a video of yours since 2014. It's been very enlightening following your work. Thanks for everything. If you haven't already, please take some time to listen to Peter Zahan's view on things. He's a geopolitical analyst with his own YouTube channel and has done some interesting interviews that I'd like you to check out. It won't take long to understand his opinions. Based on what Peter thinks, please give us your own thoughts about the best option for MGTOW monks going forward in relation to what types of countries will suit our interests and lifestyles. Peter has changed my views a bit, and I'm thinking I might stay in Australia instead of moving overseas. But I want to hear your thoughts after listening to Peter. If Peter Zahan and future places for MGTOW monks to live isn't too good for a 10-minute video, then please check out this article called Why More Women Are Suggesting Open Relationships, and give a general response. Thanks again. Well, Mr. Anonymous, thanks for the support and for following me on YouTube as it slowly kills off the views on my channel. I'll cover Peter Zahan's thoughts in the first half, and later I'll discuss the article you shared. The first time I heard him speak was on the Joe Rogan podcast, when he was attacking Bitcoin and everyone on Bitcoin Twitter lost their minds, because he was fundamentally misunderstanding it. The reason so many people don't understand it is because it's a religion. If you've never had blind faith in something, then it's hard to see. That's why Max Keiser says that it comes from God. But anyways, besides my thinking that he's wrong about Bitcoin, he's right about some things like China and Russia's demographic issues, as well as how Canada is screwed because of high real estate prices and America dicking us around. With those things, his geopolitical analysis is spot on. But I think he's wrong about the end of globalization. There will always be global trade. Think of Marco Polo and the Dutch East India Company. There'll probably just be a lot less of it. He's also jumping on the bandwagon when it comes to demographic declines. For example, Serbia peaked out at 8 million people. Now it's dropped almost under 7, and by UN estimates, it'll be down to 3 million in 75 years. Just wait until sex bots and AI girlfriends drop it down even lower, probably 1 to 2 million by 2100. Will we see re-ruralization at that point? Or will farmers keep using tractors so people don't have to work the land and can remain in the cities? That means even lower numbers of population than we had before the Industrial Revolution. I think the world is dramatically going to depopulate over the next 50 to 100 years. If we keep our technological sophistication, then I suspect we'll have to implement AI to rule over our species, to make sure the human race doesn't go extinct. Looks to me like the Hunger Games was prophetic, saying that North America might only have 4 million people at that point. As for Peter, he says that America will do well in the world of deglobalization because of the inland waterways and the Great Lakes, which are a freshwater Mediterranean as far as I'm concerned. You can go all the way from the Gulf of Mexico up the Mississippi and into the Great Lakes, all by water. In a world with less soil, we'll probably return to small ships and barges, and America will do well from that standpoint. But he's wrong when it comes to shale oil. The depletion rates for wells is actually pretty horrible, and we've already reached peak petroleum. He seems to think that America is immune from aging demographics too, when the fertility rate is now 1.7. Canada is 1.5. We're all on the same roller coaster ride, just a few cars behind Europe, Asia, and Russia. I'll discuss more in a moment. But first, let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, Moore's Carts. This is a professional e-commerce platform that sells gaming accessories, home decor, and so much more. You shop from an app you download onto your phone. The items are well priced, and it's a place where you can pay less and get more. They also have a rewards program and pay you for referring customers. Android and iOS device apps are available to download at the sponsor links down below. Anyways, now back to Peter Zahan is almost right about everything except Bitcoin Clown World Show. He's right that we're going to face depopulation and deindustrialization, but we don't need that many people to keep the factory farms running. It's also cheaper to send a container ship with regards to energy across the Pacific than to send hundreds of small boats in the Great Lakes or up the Mississippi. Container ships aren't going anywhere. I like the direction that Peter is thinking in, but I don't think he's reached all that a proper of a conclusion. If economies, populations, and globalization will deflate, then don't you need a deflationary currency? As for countries that are well-suited for MGTOW monks, I think countries that are still growing like Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand that are continuing to keep populations expanding thanks to immigration, will do the best economically, at least nominally, because more people need more phones, food, and fuel. But if their currencies collapse, then so will immigration, and there'll be tensions between ethnic groups. That's how civil war starts. My thinking is places that are homogeneous, that you can fit into well, will be the best. That would mean a place like Eastern Europe. Your dollars will go further and populations are declining, so property is going to get cheaper. But the most important part is that those countries are mostly homogeneous, so there won't be a civil war. I'm half Serbian and have a passport, so that's my escape if things get bad in Canada. Some monks might consider El Salvador if they are into Bitcoin. Remember that 90%+ of the big Bitcoiners are men, and many are making that place their home right now. So that state would have more liberty and be less gynocentric because the government is catering to a class made up of mostly males. I think that El Salvador has a good chance of becoming the Singapore of Central America. The most important thing us monks have to worry about is getting good access to healthcare as we age. When the West imports third world nurses eventually, you'll get mostly third world service. Better bachelor's 50 years of age and he's building a country compound. But what happens in 10 to 20 years when he needs healthcare services and he's living out in the middle of nowhere and can't drive himself to the hospital? I faced stuff like that before, so as a guy, you gotta think about your longer term healthcare. I think that's about all I got to say on this topic. For the second half, let me discuss that article about why more women are suggesting open relationships. I see it as women having multiple guys strung along, in case one of them makes it big in life, and then she can try and give him all their attention and keep him. It's also about women wanting to ride that carousel at some point in their life. The article follows a woman, Chloe, that suggested an open relationship with her husband. He was okay with it, and she slept with someone else for the first time in 10 years. Lifelong monogamy isn't in our genes. In fact, after 7 years or so, many people get repulsed by their partner's scent. It's nature's way of telling you to look for somebody else. But that's not the most optimal situation for raising mentally healthy children. Civilization is predicated on monogamy. I guess women have now decided that they don't want to remain civilized anymore. The only reason Chloe's husband said yes is probably because he had options. But a lot of guys don't, so it's going to be a losing proposition for them to open up their marriage or have an open relationship. Also, less children are going to be born as more people explore alternatives to monogamy. They will say this isn't a healthy environment to raise children in, so I'm not going to have any. And they're right, and Peter Zeihan's words will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. That'll lower fertility rates even further. They say women are leading this relationship revolution. Wait until AI girlfriends and lover bots show up. Then many women will have to cling to only one man, instead of trying to get a staple of them. The article also says there have been at least 6 longitudinal studies, in total tens of thousands of adults, in the range of ages from 18 to 70, which have showed consistently that in long-term committed exclusive relationships, women stop wanting to have sex in years 1 through 4. I think that's not true, as women that I was with were still jumping my bones after 5 years. Men apparently don't get bored for 9 to 12 years. I can believe that one. Many women also want to ride the carousel while still coming home to a cuck. Women like Chloe say that non-monogamy has made their relationship stronger. It's the same thing that swinging would do. Some couples actually do well having extra testicular activities with other couples. This article seems like it was sponsored by a therapist because one of them constantly mentions couples counseling if you're looking to have an open relationship. A lot of the time, newspapers are so desperate for money that they get therapists and real estate agents to pay for articles that are nothing more than thickly veiled ads for their services in a clickbait wrapper. I actually feel dumber for reading this article. It was more like verbal diarrhea from some woman that wanted to ride the carousel. It was poorly written and didn't really share any new information. It didn't really go on any tangents like the swingers example I brought up. The only thing I learned from it is that people like that are a lot less likely to have children, and it's going to push the fertility rates down, which is inevitable at this point. Global population is going to crash, and in many ways, that's a good thing. But in other ways, we will lose the complexity in our civilization, because we won't have as many people to do those complex tasks. But then again, we're probably going to have AI, which is going to replace 80% of the jobs anyways. So I think it's going to work out in the end. Hopefully with a few hundred million people in the world living on hydro and renewable energy in a sustainable way. The only catch is going to be to slow down the population crash and eventually reach some sort of equilibrium. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Mr. Anonymous for the donation and topics. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that everyone thinks that China will smash America to become the dominant superpower this century. But they don't even have enough of their own food and fuel. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, MGTOW.TV, and Rumble to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the geopolitical experts that badmouth Bitcoin without understanding how it's really a religion away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.